This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the flagship podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com, joined by my esteemed colleague, the one and only Eric Henry of Horns247.com. You've taken it off. You've taken Horns247 off your placard.
I you know what? It's okay. So I'm glad you opened with that first, Chip. And let me say thank you. All you guys watching, listening, you see it down below, subscribe to the YouTube channel, click the bell for notifications. We are a week late, and that is because yours truly had some tech issues. There was a reset of some of the things. We use StreamYard as our platform to reset, and we went through a couple of updates, and I don't have the automatic updates on my computer. As a result, we missed a week, and to Chip's point, everything is reset. Like, I had to re-log in to StreamYard to start this broadcast, and this my placard is all messed up. So I'll get that all fixed in the meantime. However, I am still a proud member of the staff at Horns247.com. So bear with me. The task was getting this started today, and then one step at a time, Chip.
One step at a time. Yes, Eric Henry of Horns247.com. All right, we've got a lot to get into, Eric, because we are playing a little bit of catch up because of technical difficulties. But one thing that happened over the weekend was the commitment out of the transfer portal of San Jose State cornerback Javion Cole, who Pro Football Focus rated as one of the top 20 cornerbacks in FBS last season, and he is one of the top 9 returning cornerbacks in FBS, according to Pro Football Focus's final rankings for the 2023 season. And one of the things that stands out about Javion Cole is that he's good against the run and he's good in coverage. According to Pro Football Focus, very high grades, 80 plus, a grade of 70.0 is considered above average. Among the PFF grades, Javion Cole over 80. Eric, your thoughts on a commitment from Javion Cole?
My initial thoughts were a little bit of surprise, if for nothing else, Chip, because a lot of the conversation has been around the defensive line. So when you see another cornerback, and it's not that necessarily that there wasn't a need, right? With Terrence Brooks in the transfer portal, Austin Jordan in the transfer portal, you know there was a need at cornerback, but I think most people, and I would still fall in this camp now, Chip, that the quote-unquote more pressing need is probably still on the defense line. I mean, we were right there, Chip. You heard Steve Sarkisian say it following the orange and white game, which he said needs more big humans, more bodies across the depth of the defensive line. Start that process with Bill Norton, I'm sure, as Texas is in the running for several defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen in the transfer portal, that they're still looking to fill that void. So the first thought was surprise. However, and you did a great job. If you haven't checked it out, go to horns247.com. Chip does a great job talking about some of the PFF numbers. I'm working on something to kind of follow up on that because, of course, you know, I'm sure 99.9% of Texas fans have no idea who Javion Cole is. And you know, I obviously, before joining the site, spent time covering the Group of Five. So I'm working on a story. Won't give away too much just yet, but I've had some conversations with some people who coached him. Chip, talking about a kid who began his career at 17 years old at Cal Poly, a kid out of Oakland, and in his first conference game had two interceptions. So someone who his defensive coordinator...
That's one way to make a first impression.
Absolutely. His defensive coordinator at Cal Poly, Cody Van Oppen, spoke very highly of him. Again, I'll have all that published within the next, you know, probably by the time you hear this, maybe within the next 24, 48 hours. Go ahead,
the thing, in looking at his film, Eric, the guy looks like he can turn his hips and run and stay attached. And that's the big thing. I mean, even Ryan Watts and Terrence Brooks had some plays where they were providing good coverage. The quarterback, Michael Penix, just put it where no one else could get it. And so you have to stay attached. And I like this kid's his ability to turn and run. I like, you know, he's 5'10", but he looks like he's got some length. And he's a dog. I mean, I think he wants to line up and press, and he feels like he can stay with anybody. So those are all great traits.
Yeah, no, I'll just add really quickly. One of the things that, you know, Cody Van Oppen spoke about is when kind of talking about the similarities in scheme between Cal Poly and Texas, obviously, again, scheme, not players or talent, but they do similar things as far as, you know, boundary corner, field side corner, and he felt that, you know, Javion Cole could do both, as someone who could play both sides. One of the things that he talked about in his recruitment is that he just was a young kid, you know, 17, coming out of Oakland. Oakland, not necessarily the quote-unquote premier, you know, area in terms of high school talent in California. So you're taking a guy as a raw prospect. And the thing he emphasized is that they felt that once he got bigger and kind of, you know, again, developed as a human being from 17 years old, he would kind of grow into some of the things that you just talked about, Chip. And now you just want to talk about developing. He goes from Cal Poly, no disrespect to their weight program, to now he's going to be their Tory Becton, right? So you know he's going to develop in that realm. So again, don't want to give away too much. You know, take a look at it. I'm going to have some stuff in Chip's Insider and have some stuff as far as my own article. But all in all, after talking with some people who you know, coached him and are very familiar with his recruitment and his background, I think this has been a possibility to be a really sneaky, sneaky, I guess, of substance, Chip. Like, he's not just going to be – I don't think it's going to be just a deaf guy. This is someone who's going to come in and has a chance to make an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. 697 snaps Javion Cole played last year for a San Jose State team that finished 7-6 and tied atop the Mountain West Conference with Boise State and UNLV. So if your memory of San Jose State is of the doormat, Brent Brennan – got it turned around. That's why he's now the head coach at Arizona. So, yeah, I like this pickup. I like this pickup when you lose Terrence Brooks and you lose Austin Jordan. You need to make sure that you've got, you know, a player of their caliber to replace them. And I think they did that in Javion Cole. So, good pickup there. All right. We still have yet to talk about Steve Sarkisian. I always like to hear from Steve Sarkisian when he starts his Texas tour, where he's kind of preaching the gospel to the supporters around the state. And he got things going in Houston. Eric was there. And I thought the clear message in last year, he went to the Touchdown Club of Houston and said, we think we can win the Big 12 championship. And they did. This year, he said, I'm challenging the team to reach the pinnacle, to exceed what the team accomplished last year. And, you know, not just winning a conference championship, not just getting to the college football playoff, but reach the pinnacle. Win a national championship in 2024, Eric. Your sense of Steve Sarkisian's level of confidence in this team?
Well, I'm going to answer that two ways. One, I asked Steve Sarkisian this because he emphasized versatility so much last year. I asked him this during spring ball, kind of the process of assessing the team's versatility, because he talked about that last year, saying that he realized it about last year's team during spring ball. And he kind of echoed the similar sentiment, right? Saying that he does believe that this team can win a variety of ways, and they're still finding out what those ways are going to be and how it's going to differ from last year. So the messaging sounds the same in that respect. Now, the second part of that answer will be in terms of his address at the TD Club of Houston to us, and then, of course, to the real people that matter, you know, the big money players there, which I'm sure Chip knows, far better than I do, being my first time attending that event. Sark does sound really, really confident. Not that I would expect anything different, but I think there's a, and Chip, I'll bounce this off you. There's a difference between a coach in, my going on 7-8 years of doing this, a difference between a coach sounding confident about his team versus a coach who sounds confident about level setting and expectation setting, right? And in my mind, this isn't just a, hey, I think we're going to have a pretty good ball club. We're going to have a chance to compete. No, this kind of exceeds that. What I heard down in Houston exceeded, I think we're going to have a pretty good team. What I heard was, we think we have an opportunity to reset the standard, right? The standard is the standard. Last year's group set it. Now we need to go exceed that, right? And that to me was one of my biggest takeaways from that address, Chip, is it's not, hey, I think we got a pretty good quarterback, and I think we got some solid players here and there. It's, I think we have a group of guys from last year who are hungry and eager to take the baton from last year's group. And I believe that the standard, the level set is competing for a national title. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, here's the quote from Sarkisian. Quote, the beauty of this group of leaders now is they have something to prove to their big brothers that just left. Now, can we hold up the standard for what great leadership looks like? Can we hold up the standard to not only be conference champions, not only be college football playoff participants, but also to reach the pinnacle and go win a national championship? That's the challenge for these guys. That's what they have to live up to. Then he mentioned, he said, so when you talk about a Jake Majors, a Kelvin Banks from Summer Creek right here in Houston, when you talk about a Jaden Blue from right here at Klein Kane, or you talk about an Alfred Collins, when you talk about a Vernon Broughton, a Jade Barron, a Jalen Gilbo, a Baron Sorrell, an Ethan Burke, the question I get all the time is, what are you going to do with all these guys that just went to the NFL? Sarkisian said, we're going to be just fine. We've got a very good football team that has a really challenging schedule coming up. So I like that. I like that Steve Sarkisian puts it out there. You get what you demand. You don't get what you earn. You don't get what you deserve. You get what you demand. So if you're making that the demand or that the standard, then everybody knows what they're working toward. I always said Bob Stoops talked about winning championships. Mac Brown talked about 10 win seasons. And Bob Stoops has a trophy case full of championships, and Mac Brown has a trophy case full of 10 win seasons. So, I like that Steve Sarkisian is putting it out there.
Chip, really quick, and I don't want to, go ahead of your timeline here, because you may have this on the agenda to get to. But one of the things that stood out to me, and I think it's a decent segue, as we were talking about the transfer portal earlier, and talking about confidence in his guys, was just his thoughts around the secondary. So I don't know if you want me to go first, or do you want to set it up? How do you want to take it?
Yeah, go ahead. Cause okay. that's an area that everyone listening to this podcast has circled as a concern.
Sure. So, again, we all know y'all read the Insider, so you probably saw the quote. Let me just, as someone who was there, kind of set the scene. So, A, Steve Sarkisian, besides having confidence in his guys, he kind of, the way the question was put, and I won't say who asked the question, but the way the question was put, it put him on the defensive, because the initial question was, that the defensive backs didn't look good in the spring, and Sark quickly cut off that question and said, look good according to whom? And then the asker said, some of your DBs got beat and so on and so forth. And Sark again cut off and said, hey, Kelvin Banks got beat. He's going to be just fine. And we're going to be just fine in the secondary. I Chip, and I've said this, I just wrote this and, three things I think, three things I know. The thing that I had in terms of, I did put this as a think, but I feel really strongly about this. I think the secondary is going to be fine, Chip. We've talked about it. Listen, you don't want to be 12th in any category. You don't want to be 100 and, if memory serves me, it was 113th out of 133 FBS teams in passing yards allowed. You don't want to be 113th in anything. However, the devil's in the details. It wasn't like Texas was a team that just was readily thrown upon week in and week out. That Iowa State game, Chip, as an example. Matt Campbell said, all right, Rocco Becht, I hope the arm's warmed up because you're going to throw it 50 times. That's the only way we're going to have a chance to win, right? Abandoning the run very early on. Secondly, yes, and we talked about it, Chip. We all saw it. I'm not going to play dumb. We all have two eyes. The secondary had some issues tackling last year, and especially that Houston game, right, where guys, passes, the receptions that should have been shut down underneath ended up going for more yards than they should have. Those things do accumulate, and yes, the passing yards allowed will go up, right? And yes, there has been some reshaping that secondary, and it's something that you would like to see change. However, I'm of the belief, Jalen Gilbo, you saw him. I wasn't covering this team in 2022. You did. Steve Sarkisian has been very high on Jalen Gilbo, his return. And that, to me, gives this defense a level of versatility, because if Jade Barron can play more on the outside, right? And listen, I'm open about saying I think Jade's value at star is higher than it would be on the outside. However, Sark may know something that I don't. If Jade Barron's has the ability to play on the outside and can give them more value, that to me, in my mind, is huge. We'll see what Javion Cole can add. I'm really high on Andrew Makuba and Xavier Filsomi. Xavier Filsomi had a couple plays in that spring game that if, first off, I want to give him credit for being a heady freshman and not just knocking someone's block off.
So you and I disagree on this play, by the way.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Because I thought Filsomi was late.
From my perspective, there were some plays in the spring game where that would have been bang bang at worst in my mind, if not Filsomi gets there first. Nevertheless,
Fletcher Milton catches a touchdown pass. Filsomi was coming up. I thought he was late, and that's why he grabbed his helmet as Fletcher Milton went by. You thought he could have killed him.
Sure. Nevertheless, and that is my position. Nevertheless, I do think the reshaping of the secondary is one that will work out in Texas' favor, and they're going to have to rise to the occasion. So I say a lot to say it's something that certainly is on the minds of Texas fans, and Steve Sarkisian addressed it, but he was – if the quote read as if he was defensive, there's the background as to why he was kind of put on the defense.
Yeah, because – The quote, let me find it here. The quote is, he was kind of defensive, but Eric just explained why. So we can probably move on from that. And let's go to, I thought this was interesting. He said, knock on wood, in talking about Kelvin Banks, if you want to know how Steve Sarkisian, who has been very transparent and has said, if you can be a top pick, I'm going to tell you to turn pro. Even if you're thinking of coming back. And of left tackle Kelvin Banks, who is draft eligible after the 2024 season, he said, knock on wood, he'll be a top five NFL draft pick next season. So we know how Steve Sarkisian is looking at this as well. It's not just Calvin Banks or people in the Calvin Banks inner circle. This is the head coach saying, yeah, this will be our last season with Calvin Banks. Should be.
I mean, look, Chip, I'll just add this. First off, when you stand near Calvin Banks, like you see an NFL left tackle like that. Yeah, you see a bookend guy. As a matter of fact, you know what, Chip? I'm going to ask you this hypothetical. Never mind. I'll shift kind of from where I was going to go and pivot. And this is totally hot takey, so I apologize for throwing you this way in advance. Is Calvin Banks the best Texas tackle since Mike Williams?
He's probably better than Mike Williams. Mike Williams was huge, but I don't think he had as good a feat as Calvin Banks. So I think we'll see how this year goes, but Calvin Banks might be setting some new ground here.
How about that?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting, and I wasn't quite sure. I think this fan was an older fan at the Houston Touchdown Club of Houston who said, are you going to need to, you know, kind of re-educate the players about how intense this A&M rivalry is since there's been a 13-year hiatus? Because that game is in College Station, and Steve Sarkisian said, it's not hard at all. We'll be ready. And I'll just say, if the players and Sarkisian remember the fervor of the Arkansas game in the 2021 season in Fayetteville when Texas got ambushed 40-21, and it wasn't that close. Texas scored 2 fourth quarter touchdowns. That's going to be nothing compared to what is going to happen in College Station with the Aggies and Kyle Field and all those chants and yells and la 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 and the swaying. Wait till you experience that, Eric.
Chip, can I ask you really quick? You know, I did a radio spot in Baton Rouge last week. And I was asked by the host, you know, to kind of talk about the schedule and maybe a game that you know really stood out for Texas, maybe inside the building and for the fans. And I said A&M. And listen, I don't have the history, right? The background of being able to recall aspects of that game, Chip, but this is where I lean on you. Would it not be fair to say, I mean, listen, everyone's fired up for the Georgia game. We know that's going to be a crazy weekend with F1 in town. Yours truly might try to make a buck or two renting out an apartment. Nevertheless, am I out of line in saying, Chip, that A&M game is right up there in terms of just the anticipation and everything that comes with it with that Georgia game, if not more?
Yeah, they talk about each other in their fight songs. So Texas and Texas A&M are meant to play every year in everything. And it's going to be not only a crazy scene because the fans are going to be out of their minds. Everyone on the Texas and A&M side has said, oh, we didn't need them. We didn't need them. We don't miss them. Yeah, you do. Because when they get together, it's the hardest ticket to get. It's totally memorable. I mean, you remember these games. And like I remember almost every play of the 1995 Texas A&M game when Texas, with James Brown on a bum ankle playing on one leg, with Ricky Williams as a freshman, they went down there and ended A&M's 31 game home winning streak and went on to the conference championship. Like, you remember those games. And of course, everyone remembers the 2013 game when Justin Tucker, with a huge assist from spaghetti-armed Case McCoy, who was slinging it all over the place that day. Not really. He ran for a huge 35-yard run to set up the Justin Tucker game-winning field goal, but he played well enough to win, by God. I mean, he doesn't get much love, doesn't get much credit. He won some big games. He beat OU in 2013. He beat A&M in 2011. So, yeah, that scene's going to be bonkers. And A&M's going to be good. This just in. Connor Wegman's a really good quarterback. If they've found enough help on the offensive line in the portal, they've got a good football team. And so I expect them to be really good on defense because they've recruited like crazy on that side of the ball. They've had top recruiting classes. So, yeah, that game's going to be insane.
I will say this, Chip, you know, before we let you transition, and granted, it may have been a biased crowd, but the folks there at the TD Club of Houston, I heard from several folks there in attendance who were upset that seemingly the new head coach, Mr. Mike Elko, has not made his way to talk to the folks down there in Houston. So, yeah, if there's one thing, Chip, I've learned about my time in Texas is you can do all the this and that and the other about recruiting and talking interviews. You better get out there and shake some hands and see some people face to face. You better make sure you make the Texas High School Coaches Association, I guess, events, and you better shake some hands and meet people face to face. So I'll just reserve the right to wait until we'll see what happens come that part of the year, Chip.
Yeah, and what a great matchup. Steve Sarkisian, offensive-minded head coach, against Mike Elko, defensive-minded head coach. But yeah, you're right. When you take over at Texas or Texas A&M, you're the CEO. You got to be visible. You got to be doing the lecture tour. That's part of the deal. Okay, real quickly, we're kind of chopping through some of the big things from Steve Sarkisian, the Touchdown Club of Houston. I thought this was interesting. He said he thought that Alabama transfer receiver Isaiah Bond had some, quote, early game jitters in the spring game when he dropped a couple balls, including a touchdown pass. Would have been a tough catch, but it went through his hands. And so Isaiah Bond is human, Eric.
Chip, I don't want to sound like I'm making an excuse for guys, but I mean, okay, right? Like, if the standard is Jerry Rice, you know, Marvin Harrison, Justin Jefferson, right? Like, then fair enough, you can't drop a pass. But outside of that, Chip, Keyshawn Johnson, of course, people, you know, listen to this podcast enough to know I'm from Tampa and I'm back home for the time being. Keyshawn Johnson said, and maybe it was out of frustration, but I remember him saying something vividly when he was at the Bucs, saying, listen, like, no receiver's perfect. You're going to drop a pass. It happens. It's a matter of, like, does it become a habit? Is it a consistent thing or is it just an incidental thing? I don't look at this. And again, Isaiah Bond is still a young player in his career. Maybe I shouldn't put him in the pantheon of those guys who are either first overall picks or NFL Hall of Famers, right? However, I don't think we're at a situation where we need to be too overly concerned about a couple of drops in a spring game. To be quite frank, Chip, I mean, I don't know if you saw it differently. I don't remember seeing Isaiah Bond drop anything during spring availability, during practice, for the time that we were out there to watch it, right? So, I mean, that to me in itself speaks more to me than, well, sure, yes, you'd like to see him hang on to those things. The kid played at Alabama. It's not like we're talking about Javion Cole, who's coming from San Jose State and Cal Poly.
Right.
So
he caught fourth and goal from the 31 to beat Auburn.
He's had some big time moments.
I mean, Isaiah Bond has had one of the greatest catches, one of the biggest plays in the history of the Iron Bowl. So yeah, you expect him to catch almost everything. And here's the thing. This is what makes it interesting, Eric, is he's fighting for a job. I mean, no one's got a starting position yet. You lose your top five pass catchers from the season before. You got Ryan Wingo looking like the next Justin Jefferson. You've got Jontae Cook and DeAndre Moore who are like, I'll be bleep bleep if some portal transfer is going to come in here and take my job. And I'm in the second year of this offense. And Silas Bolden's not even on campus yet, although it's getting closer. Memorial Day weekend or whatever. Silas Bolden, the leading receiver at Oregon State last year, who's really impressive. Like, he's a guy I'm excited about because he runs over the middle without fear. And he's tough and he makes the catch and takes hits.
Especially for his size, Chip.
Yeah, he's a compact, fast fire hydrant, if that's even a thing. But because fire hydrants sure as hell aren't fast, but he's built like a fire hydrant. I mean, he's really compact. He's strong. Smaller receiver, but fearless. And that's, you got to have those guys. You got to have those guys that'll go over the middle. Jordan Whittington, great, you know, pass catcher over the middle. Should have gotten more passes over the middle. But Isaiah Bond's in competition. It's going to be fun. Sark is staying away from those answers. You ask him, who's your top three right now receiver? He's like, that's all going to work itself out. He's not playing that game. I thought that was interesting. But he said his offensive player to watch is Trey Wisner. Special teams now probably in the same role that Jonathan Brooks was in behind Bijan and Roshan. And, he's moving on up, kind of where Jaden Blue started last year. And I thought this was the interesting quote about Trey Wisner from Sarkisian. He said he thinks Wisner is, quote, going to assume a really cool role on our team. And he wasn't talking about special teams. So they think he's a guy who can be a move guy, a space guy, but also a guy who runs angry between the tackles.
Chip, that was interesting when I heard it. It did make my ears perk up at first. And listen, I won't lie. I'll be transparent with y'all. We've heard, Chip, you've been great reporting as far as, you know, having it in the insider. And then we've heard Steve Sarkisian talk about it in terms of, Trey Wisner. We heard the player say Trey Wisner, CJ Baxter, Jaden Blue said, that guy, first guy on the field, last guy to leave, does everything 100% full speed. So when I heard it initially, you're in the ballroom, I'm trying to do a little writing, I'm trying to, hear everything going on to kind of, again, to set the scene. Like, it's not a typical press conference, right? Like, it's a lunch, people are talking. So you're hearing Sark on the mic, but you're hearing other conversations. So at first I started like, okay, I expected that answer, but that part is the one that I was like, all right, let me put down the laptop for a second and listen intently, because I wonder, Chip, what that role could be, right? Like, maybe I could be speaking this into my own kind of idea, but remember how we kind of talked about Savion Redd and he was a receiver, then turned running back, and maybe there'd be some creative ways to use him. And so I think that could be something that could be really interesting, because Steve Sarkisian is one of the most creative guys in all of college football. And, if you can't, not that you can't get three running backs carries, but if you're just trying to find a way to find a guy on the field, maybe that's something that, it's the quick game, and you just get the ball in his hands and he does his thing as a receiver. Sark always talks about that's a prerequisite in his offense. If you're a back, you're going to be able to catch the ball, right? So maybe that's something. Who knows? But that made my ears perk up. So I agree with you on that part, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the NFL loves Sarkisian's running backs because they all catch the football. They all have been well-schooled in blitz pickup. And yeah, they're usually really productive when carrying the football. So he said his defensive player to watch, Trey Moore, the UTSA edge transfer. He said Trey Moore is, quote, going to be a real problem. So we know Sarkisian feels good about his pass rush, because he said after the spring game that our pass rush is real. And no one really got a good look at Trey Moore in the spring game. Colin Simmons obviously has added, to the equation. And then Colton Vasek, who got the nickname Baby Bosa, in fall camp his freshman year before a back injury that wiped out his freshman year. He appears to be back at full strength, and he's a guy, you know, 6'6", long, strong. His dad, Brian Vosick, played at Texas in the early 90s and was a really good player. Now he's the defensive line coach at Austin Westlake High School and coached both Ethan Burke and Colton, his son. So that's another reason to get excited, Eric.
I talk about it again in the three things I think, three things I know. What do I know? The edges will make this defense this year, because we're not just hearing about Baron Sorrell. We're not just hearing about Ethan Burke. Justice Finkley is someone who's been more than adequate in the time that he's been on the field. You talked about it. You nailed it with Colton Vosick, right? In terms of provided that back is healthy, and maybe I'm the one who's a little more skittish on it just because, you know, you hate to hear back injuries, especially with big, long guys like that. So knock on wood, let's hope he's 100% healthy. That's going to be a problem. We continue to hear about Trey Moore. And again, I'm working on an offseason deal with Trey Moore as well, talking to a couple American Athletic Conference former offensive line coaches, Ed Warner, who's down at Florida Atlantic with Tom Herman, looking to talk to him. Actually, I have spoken with him already, but looking to talk to a few others who faced Trey Moore over the past few years. And hell, I can even use my own experience. Trey Moore's first game that he had more than one sack, 2022 against Florida International. I covered that game. I won't make this the FIU show, but that was an offensive line that will not compare in any way to any SEC offensive lines, Chip. That offensive line left a lot to be desired. Love y'all if y'all hear this. Those guys know I love them. But nevertheless, I saw Trey Moore up close, you know, when I was covering the group of fives when UTSA was in Conference USA. So you got that on deck. And of course, Colin Simmons, right? Like, he's going to be an edge as well. I'm 100% of the belief, Chip, that, listen, we'll see what happens as far as replacing Tavondre Sutt, Byron Murphy, but this can be a year where the edges come out. And Chip, I'll leave it on this. And I wrote this. Getting to the quarterback, I think, can be just as paramount for this year's team as last year's was with forcing timely turnovers, notably Jalen Ford, right? Jalen Ford, Steve Sarkisian talked about him having just that ability when, you know, you need a timely interception, kind of slow down and find his way around the football. Let's say you don't get some of those interceptions and maybe force fumbles per se, but you get sacks. I think that's just as paramount for this team.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was one of the interesting things about Trey Moore, is that a lot of his production, and you can tell me, he had, as you pointed out, 2.5 sacks against FIU. He had a sack against Middle Tennessee, sack against UAB, Louisiana Tech, and then in 2023. That was in 2022. And then he had 3.5 sacks against UAB, 3 sacks against East Carolina, 2 sacks against Rice, 1.5 against FAU, but none against Tennessee or Texas or Tulane, you know, some of the better teams on the schedule.
Chip, if we really want to nerd out on this, FIU had 2 offensive linemen. Lindell Hudson went to Florida after the 2022 year. Shamar Hobdi-Lee was a right tackle, ended up going to Houston. He had 1.5 sacks against the reserve right tackle. He had 1 sack against Hobdi-Lee, who was the right tackle at FIU. Against Middle Tennessee, he had 1 sack against a kid, Dorian Hinton, who played left and right tackle for Rick Stockstill. He ended up transferring to FAU. UAB had another kid, I'm forgetting his name right now, who ended up going to Auburn as a tackle, but I cannot remember if Trey Moore's sack was on him. So I'm saying, if we really want to nerd out about this, the point I'll make is, at least Chip, while he didn't have the production we would have wanted against the big boys, he excelled against the best that his level had to offer, right? And I think that's the most you can ask for.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Steve Sarkisian is convinced. And that tells you something, because I do think Sarkisian is pretty pretty judicious in his praise. If it's there, he'll give it to you. If it's not there, he's just going to, you know, give you a short answer.
Yeah.
I did think this was funny, and then we'll get to a couple other nuggets, but he was asked if he was worried about SEC officiating, and he said, "We played one game with SEC officials, and Alabama got called for two pass interferences and one defensive holding in the secondary. That was more than we got those things called the entire season." So in the Big 12. So Steve Sarkisian looking forward to SEC officiating.
And Chip, I know you heard the audio. You know, Sark made sure to repeat it. He felt that the crowd was like, hey, yeah, typically that gets a bit of a bigger response. He repeated it twice. So
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So overall, I mean, obviously, strong State of the Union speech from Steve Sarkisian as he begins his begins talking season. Okay, a couple quick nuggets. We got to give some love to the Texas men's golf team for they were not favored to win the Big 12 golf championship. They went in as the number 17 team in the country. They knocked off Oklahoma to win it. And now the Texas golf team is hosting the NCAA regional starting Monday. Starting Monday, May 13th at UT Golf Club. Admission is free, and it goes on for 4 days. And these are some of the best college golfers in America coming to try and qualify for the NCAA championship. So kudos to John Fields, now the longest tenured coach at Texas, with Eddie Reese finally retiring at age 83 with 15 national championships. But John Fields always has the men's golf team going. So UT softball, number one in the country. Now they can say they're number one in the Big 12 because they went into this last weekend as the number one team in the country, but the number two team in the Big 12. But Texas swept Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State helped Texas immensely by going into Norman and taking down number two Oklahoma, two out of three games. So Texas wins the regular season title in softball outright. Eric, Chip, I know you're all over that.
Listen, hey, really quick. Was it 20-something to zero?
23 to nothing.
I mean, hey, you know.
In five innings.
If you want to, well, yeah, you better run rule it there. You want to make a statement. That's making a statement.
And that Mike White said, he said he walked into the post game and said, that was a really impressive performance. You just can't sugarcoat it. You can't. Yeah, that was really impressive. Okay. Tennis. Okay. I actually went to the tennis and the number two Texas men handled business. As I've already told you, they're going to win the national championship if they stay healthy and keep playing the way they're playing. And they are going to play Texas A&M. How about this for the NCAA tournament bracket? So they're going to play Texas A&M. Let me get the Friday at 6. Friday at 6. So you go watch, I mean, these are two of the best teams in the country. Great atmosphere at the Texas Tennis Center because my wife and I, we went to the women's match, which was rain delayed by 2.5 hours. We went back out when it resumed, and Texas was in real trouble. The Texas women, they were tied 3-all, came down to the final match, number 6 singles, Vivian Avrutsky. For Texas, and the freshman from Georgia Tech, Haven Roach, who was really talented, and Roach was up 6-4, 5-3. And Vivian Avrutsky came back. And let me tell you, it was because the Texas men's tennis team came out in force and started cheering for her. And they totally unnerved the freshman from Georgia Tech and uplifted Vivian Avrutsky, who came back, won it 4-6, 7-5, 6-1 to clinch the overall 4-3 victory for Texas. So now they move into the Sweet 16 as well. They will not be hosting in the next round. So, and Texas baseball took 2 of 3 from Oklahoma State. So David Pierce, you know, and these Longhorns continue to find ways. They are in, tied for second place, 3 games behind Oklahoma, who they did beat in their series. All right, Eric, you ready for some take it or leave it?
Let's do it, Chip Brown.
Okay, we'll be right back with some take it or leave it, kids.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Me? You? Okay. All right. Hey, we're back. For some take it or leave it, Eric and I were just discussing who was going to serve first in this round of take it or leave it. Eric says he is going to serve first. So, Eric, take it away, my friend.
Chip, that's why you are a professional. Talk about a transition. As we're coming off of tennis, you go right into serve. That, sir, is why you are a pro's pro. TCU defensive tackle Dominic Williams chose Oklahoma, but Texas will be just fine at defensive tackle after landing Arizona transfers Billy Norton and Tia Savea. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to take this. I'm going to take this. If you'll recall, after the spring game, Steve Sarkisian said areas of concern. The first one was, we're not as deep as we need to be at defensive line. 2 days later, they got the commitment from Bill Norton, who spent 3 years at Georgia, spent 6'6", 325, built a lot like Alfred Collins. Spent first 3 years at Georgia, then last year at Arizona, next to Tia Savea, leading a much improved run defense that gave up 118 yards per game on the ground. It was a top 25 unit, I think. I'm comfortable. If line one is Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton and line two is Bill Norton and Tia Savea, two guys who have a bunch of history and comfort together. And then hopefully a revitalized, springy, savage Jure Bledsoe lining up next to, you know, Aaron Bryant, Sadir Mitchell, Alex January. I'm taking this, Eric. How about you?
Chip, I'm taking it because I don't have a choice. Like, they're going to have to be at this point. Like, we've been talking about this. I hate to sound exasperated. We've been talking about this for months. They're going to have to be. They're going to have to be.
But they did add Bill Norton.
Well, yes, they did add Bill Norton. Part of it is, you know, the additional guys that they wanted to add, they're not there, right? And I implore anyone, if you did not see, sidebar, the video of Dominic Williams in Baton Rouge, in his recruitment, he tweeted it out from his own Twitter account. It is pure comedy, Chip. It is what you would expect from an LSU Baton Rouge Brian Kelly thrown event with sparklers in the air quotes club. Let's just say Mr. Williams was not impressed. If you saw the video, it is straight comedy. Nevertheless, they're going to have to be, right? Like, if Chip, if the question is, are they going to be what they were last year? I've talked about it ad nauseum, wrote about it. The answer is no. We're now at the point where I will confidently say no, affirmatively say no. Can they be 75, 80% of what they were? We'll see, but they're going to have to be fine. Like, there just is no other option at this point. So I am taking it under duress.
Well, in the, you know, some people were upset, you know, Texas didn't get Dominic Williams. It was a bidding war, folks. I mean, the agents had everyone over a barrel because defensive line is the most important position. You have to have interior defensive tackle on defense. And arguably it's 1B to quarterback on your team. So Oklahoma broke the bank. So did Dominic Williams. Steve Sarkisian didn't want to deal with that. He didn't want to deal with having to explain that to his locker room, and he didn't want to wonder about what that money was going to do to the work ethic and everything else of the player. So they checked out on Dominic Williams and the two interior defensive linemen from Michigan State once the agents, you know, started driving the price. So I think Texas feels good. They're going to, you know, Steve Sarkisian is going to tell Kenny Baker, hey, get him coached up. Here we go. All right, Eric. Take it or leave it. Number two, your level of confidence in the Texas secondary being improved is high after Steve Sarkisian took up for the unit last week. Take it or leave it.
This one I am not taking under duress because I talked about it earlier in the podcast. I'm taking it, and it's because of the things that I mentioned before. You know, I think, Chip, if it were just telling me that, you know, and this was prior to the addition of Javion Cole, but if you're just telling me it was any other cornerback coming back, I might be a little bit hesitant, but you're talking about someone who can fill a role that Steve Sarkisian has emphasized is the glue of the defense and a very important role in that defense being the star. So if, whether it's Jahdae Barron or Jalen Gilbo, I'm expecting that whoever is not in that star will be making an impact somewhere in that secondary. And that to me is enough to give me that confidence. In addition to what I am hearing and what seemingly Steve Sarkisian has, you know, bought in on Javion Cole. So I'm taking it.
Yeah. I feel a lot better about the cornerback position. The safety position is what I want to see. I want to see not a secondary on its heels, but a secondary that's dictating to people. I think Derek Williams is close to being in that position. We have to see what Andrew Mukuba brings. But we know Michael Taff is a quarterback of the secondary. He's going to get everybody lined up. He's going to be in the right place at the right time usually, but he just lacks the physical tools to, you know, when he tackles people, a lot of times he's grabbing and hanging on and hoping the posse gets there. And that's great. He's okay. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's going to be in the right place at the right time. I'm going to take this because my confidence level is high that it's going to improve. How much? I don't know. It's got to be better than last year. 113th in the nation. And I get it. A lot of those passing yards came in games where the opponent was way down, but they were able to come back. I mean, TCU, Kansas State, you know, Oklahoma was throwing it all over the place. Those games, it was the biggest games of the year. They got away with it against K-State and TCU. They didn't get away with it against OU. So it's got to be better. I'm going to take it. My confidence level's high that it will improve. I just hope it improves a lot because that part I'm not confident about.
And to bring us home, take it or leave it, number three, the five-star freshman from St. Louis, Missouri, Ryan Wingo, will finish top three, either catches, yards, or receiving touchdowns in 2024. Take it or leave it, Chip.
This is really hard, in my opinion, because I think they convinced, you know, Matthew Golden, hey, come here, like Adonai Mitchell, play for a year, go pro. And I think they said the same thing to Isaiah Bond. So who's going to be on the field? All I know is Ryan Wingo, based on what we saw and from what we're hearing, is going to be hard to keep out of the field. So I'm going to lose my mind right now, and I'm going to take this, that he will finish in the top three in either catches, yards, or TD receptions. It might be TD receptions, Eric.
Chip, taking it. How about you? I don't think you're losing your mind. I think you're trusting your eyes. I think you're trusting your ears. You didn't say all three. You said either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ryan Wingo is going to be top three in one of those. And again, in my three things I know, Ryan Wingo, I said that I know that he's going to find more playing time than Jonte Cook last year. It has nothing to do with Jonte Cook. The key is this. You look at last year's group, Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington, A.D. Mitchell, X and Jay Witt had prior starting experience with Steve Sarkisian. A.D. Mitchell, as you talked about, you bring him in, you're saying, hey, I'm bringing you in here to go catch 10 touchdowns and catch 50 balls and go pro, right? This year, you don't quite have that dynamic. And you kind of talked about it earlier in the show. You still have guys who are kind of, in theory, fighting for roles. I think that is more of an opening than Jonte Cook had last year. And I think that opening will allow Ryan Wingo to crack top three in one of these categories.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fascinating. All right, kids. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Flagship Podcast featuring Eric Henry and myself, Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe. Keep the faith.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.